Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
But to our moms, congratulations on making another human. That's a big deal. I tell you what, I've had four babies, and whenever my husband would get on my case when I was pregnant, I would say, excuse me, cut me a little grace. I grew a head today. I made a brain today. What did you make? But for those of you who have never seen my children, I thought it would be an appropriate day to show you a photo, because I talk about them a lot, but they attend our central campus. So here's my babies. I started having babies at 19. I was a 19-year-old mum, and the first handsome man on the left just here, my Geordie, is almost 23 years of age. I was a baby having a baby. Then my Tommy boy, my little prince, is 15. He's in the ninth grade. And then Ashy James, he was born in 45 minutes. And he's never been slow at anything ever since. 45 minutes, I was desperate for an epidural, but they wouldn't give me one. I had a drug-free birth, but not by choice. They're like, it's too late, we can't do anything. And then my little angel girl, Zoe Abigail Sigrid Metesius, the girl has the longest name in history. She's our little princess. She's 8 years old, and she's an absolute delight and joy. So that's the fruit of my womb right there. Praise God. So what a day to celebrate you mums. And I've got to say, you know, in a lot of cases, we can be the most underappreciated people on the face of the earth. And it's not that I want you to feel like a victim or like you're oppressed, but sometimes it's true. And I think it's because kids can often take their anger or disappointment or frustration out on their mothers because they know that they are the softest place to fall. And there were many times when, you know, our kids would be going through crisis and I felt like my husband got a pass and everything was landing on me. And I felt the Lord say, it's because they know how much you love them and you'll never walk away. And you're the safe place to vent. You're the safe person to pour out their garbage onto. So I want to say to you today, mums, maybe you haven't been appreciated the way that you should have been appreciated. But I want you to know today that your Heavenly Father sees what you're going through, and what you do in secret and what no man has applauded, your Heavenly Father will reward you openly. So expect some kind of reward today for being a fantastic mum, even in those days when nobody sees. And dads, guess what? If you haven't done what it takes to bless your kid's mama today, there's still time. The day is not over yet. And I realize there's a little bit of terror around buying gifts for your wife at any time, because we're terrible, shocking judges, aren't we? It's like we have a scoreboard. And every birthday or Christmas or wedding anniversary or Mother's Day, it's like an opportunity for us to see and judge how well they actually did. Did you read my mind like I thought you would? So my husband is like, it's almost he comes shaking. I wonder if a couple of birthdays ago, he forgot to get me a birthday present because I had said to him, I don't want anything. Right? But I don't mean it. What do you want for your birthday? Nothing. I just want you. But that's code for I want everything. And I want you to read my mind and present it as an offering the minute I open my eyes on the morning of my birthday. And so he wakes up and he's like, rolls over, happy birthday, babe, kiss. I'm like, oh, where's the card? Or where's the present? He's like, but you said, and you could see the sheer terror and panic like rising. And he began to shake and quake. And we were at Big Bear at the time, and we drove straight down that mountain, and he took me to a pet store and bought me the best gift ever, a dog, a Shetland sheepdog named Laddie. The best present ever. But now he just writes in the card like beautiful words, and then on the side he'll be like, your gift is whatever you want it to be. A shopping spree, dinner out, you name it, it's yours. It's like he has found the way to cover all his bases. You cannot get it wrong. Whatever you want it to be, this is your day. So I'm sorry, men. I'm sorry that we're so high maintenance. It is what it is. Hey, thank you. Thank you, guys. Great job. Great job. Awesome. So we're going to get in the Word this morning. I'd love it if you turn in your Bibles to the book of Exodus, chapter number 2. I'm going to be speaking this morning about a really famous mum. Well, actually, she's Bible famous, but she was probably not one, a woman that you would think about too much in relation to all the many heroines in the Bible. I put her in the category of one of the real housewives of the Old Testament. There's a whole lot of them. Hannah, Sarah, Rebecca, Abigail, all incredible women with incredible stories. But I love this woman in particular because I feel like she is one that I can relate to more than any other. See, she was birthing or pregnant with a child in a time that was incredibly scary and chaotic. She was married and conceived a child in ancient Egypt, and it was about this time in ancient Egypt that the greatest ruler in the land by the name of Pharaoh put out a decree that all the people were to kill every Hebrew male child. So initially he just kind of come along sneakily to the midwives and said, when these Hebrew women have babies, I want you to kill them when they're born. Kind of like it was just some tragic accident. But then the Bible says that the midwives feared God and they would not do what the Pharaoh had commanded them. And so Pharaoh then had to move on, and he basically gave a license to kill to every Egyptian in the land to take out the Hebrew male children out of his own fears and suspicions of these people rising up and formulating a coup and overthrowing him and taking over the land. So he had armed all of the citizens to murder all the babies, the male babies that were born of the Hebrew women. So look, can you imagine the fear that these women faced on a daily basis? You know, I remember when I had a child, and as a single woman, I had really, my fear switch had not been turned on yet. It was definitely there. I had all the seeds and the DNA for it, but I'd just never been in an environment for it to be switched on yet. And I remember having my baby for the first time, and all of a sudden, I was just flooded with a vast different amounts of feelings and emotions. I had incredible joy over holding this little baby boy in my arms and looking at him and seeing pieces of me and pieces of Jürgen and thinking about all the adventures we'd have and all the fun we'd have and all the clothes I'd buy in him and how cute he would look wherever we'd go. And I had the excitement over being a mummy for the first time, the wonder of this beautiful thing. But then at the same time, I felt like a truckload of fear was deposited in my direction. And suddenly I saw the world through different eyes, through the eyes of a protector. No longer was that just a coffee table, that was a weapon. That had some spiky edges that needed to be taken care of. And oh, any man that was loitering anywhere near a female toilet, he may have just been casually around there, but as you're walking there with your kids, that man was immediately a pedophile. Especially if he had a moustache and you'd see like death stares all across the, what are you doing standing within 100 feet of the restrooms? And poor old men, I know you are some of the most oppressed species on the face of the earth. But all of a sudden these fears start to arise and you are very, very aware of all the things you can't control. And the world that seems so perfect and so fun and full of adventure now becomes a really scary place. And this was exactly the environment that Jochebed was pregnant in. She was the mother of Moses. She was in a time that was dire, that was distressful, that was dark, that was scary, massive political unrest. Every Egyptian person had a license to kill Hebrew children. And here is where we find Jochebed bringing forth her son Moses. So I'd love it if you turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter number 2, verses 1 to 3. Says this, "And a man of the house of Levi went and took as a wife a daughter of Levi. So the woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a beautiful child," okay, let's stop for a second, because I don't know if there's a woman, a sane woman alive, that does not think her child is a beautiful child. So this was really a foolproof plan on the side of God here, because, you know, it's no mother ever looks at her kid and goes, "Wow, you ugly." Jeez, is there a turn slot? Because I don't know how I feel about this. "And when she saw that he was a beautiful child," I love how unpolitically correct the Bible is too. So funny. So it then goes on to say that when she saw he was a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months. But when she could no longer hide him, somebody say when she could no longer hide him. She took an ark of bulrushes for him, dubbed it with asphalt and pitch, and put the child in it and laid it in the reeds by the riverbank. You know, I love this particular story because it really illustrates the battle that every mummy faces every day, and that really is the trust test. The trust test. Because we cannot control the world that our kids are born into. We cannot control the circumstances they will face, and we can't control, as much as we could we want to try, the choices that they make. So we find ourselves spun into a world that is out of our control. And what happens when we're in environments that are outside of our control is often we can become so overwhelmed by the things that we can't control, we respond with fear. We respond with panic. We respond with anxiety. We respond with worry. We respond with our own personal version of control. And I love it where it says in the Bible that Jochebed, after she had Moses, and at 3 months, she realized she could not hide him anymore. She came up with a strategy and a plan. And I want to say to you today, mums, there will come a point in your life, in your parenting and your child rearing, that there will be a time where you cannot hide anymore or carry anymore this child that God has given you. And that will be the time where we have a choice to either go to control, fear, worry, anxiety. And many women have. And that's why we have 45-year-olds playing all kinds of Dungeons and Dragons in the basement. And women who in their 50s and so on have never been socially trained well enough because they've been raised by a parent who has been so fearful and afraid that they don't have social etiquette and they're not comfortable in public settings and they don't know how to interact with people. And it's all because we used our God-given parenting skills that God gave us not to release to God what ultimately belongs to God, but to hold to ourselves and control and manipulate. And so we find Jochebed at a transition time. She realizes, I cannot hide Moses anymore. This situation has got too big for me. That time when your children go off to college, or that time when they go for their first sleepover. And I'm not saying we don't use wisdom in all our decisions as parents, but there are some situations you cannot control. And gosh darn, we've tried, haven't we, mums? We've become those helicopter parents that circle over our children and we monitor everything they do. And I was just like that. I remember when my kids were little and they were playing with the neighbors, and they were playing with a neighbor who was, you know, a little bit of a rat bag. And I would kind of lurk. I would lurk by the doorway to hear if this kid was saying anything that was inappropriate. And then when he did, I'd launch in and I'd shut it down. I'd be like, "You cannot, and you don't say that to him, and you better start sharing, and he gets the good Lego, and you get that Lego." And I'd be manipulating the situation. And, you know, but I realized very quickly there are circumstances and situations that are out of my control. I remember one such day when I was playing tennis with some friends in Australia, and I turned my back for what I felt was no longer than 30 seconds. And my 2.5-year-old at that time, Ashley, who was a wanderer — how many mothers have wanderers? Oh, Lord have mercy. I had to get one of those leash things. Yes, like it was the discreet one. It wasn't the dog leash thing. It was like the curly with the Velcro strap to you, strap to them. Because if I turned my back, he would just disappear. And so this is what happened. He was 2.5 years old. He was lost for an hour. I was a mess on the floor. The police were called. They didn't get there by the time we found him, by the way. There were little rivers and streams. He was 2.5 years old, absolutely panic-stricken. We found him 60 minutes later. He had walked half a mile and was sitting in a horse stable playing with sawdust. And it's out at those kind of moments where, for all means and purposes, outside of looking, there's so much that is outside of your control. What do you do then? What do you do when the situation is too big for you to carry? What do you do when the baby is so big and so grown that you cannot hide them anymore? Well, I want to tell you, God has a solution. And it's not worry. It's not fear. It's not anxiety. It's not control, and it's not manipulation. And I realize there are mothers out there, and you have, outside, because of your love for your child, but your inability to trust the Lord with what is most precious to you, it has actually made you an anxious, fretful, worried mother. And then that place has led you to a place where you have become a controller and a manipulator. And I've seen families torn apart because of it. But I want to tell you today, God has a plan. And the plan actually leads you to a place where your family will be healthy, where your relationship with your husband will be blessed, where your children won't resent you, and where you set them up for a bright and glorious future, understanding that God has got this. Can somebody say amen? Amen. So what is the trust test? What does it really look like? When I was putting this message together, I felt the Holy Spirit so strongly say to me, Leanne, it is not complicated. We all come into this place, like I said, where all our fear buttons are pushed as parents, particularly as mothers, because we have such a close bond with our children. But I felt the Holy Spirit say to me, it is actually really simple, but it's something that my people have not been properly taught to do, and it's called casting your cares. Now, I'm saying that and you're like, yeah, whatever, casting my cares. like I can just forget about it, yeah. My kids are way on drugs. This one's promiscuous. This one has no interest in church. This one's listening to dark music. This one just divorced his wife and you just want me to cast my care. Yeah. But there is an intent and a purpose and a positive way to cast your cares. Casting your cares is not like someone who just litters. I have this trash and it's become uncomfortable and inconvenient for me to carry right now, so I'm just going to toss it anywhere. Right. No, there's an intent and a purpose direction when we cast our cares. We don't just toss it anywhere. Right. Casting your cares is not putting your head in the sand, thinking and hoping this is not happening. Right. It's not divorcing yourself from the situation and saying, I'm going to be uninvolved. I'm not going to be involved anymore because this is too painful for me. Casting our cares is actually a weapon of deliverance for our freedom and the freedom of our children. So when Jochebed got to the point in her life where Moses was too big for her to carry, she didn't just toss him into the river. Sink or swim, boy. Fingers crossed. Let's see what happens. She didn't do that. She made a purpose-built, specific vessel that would keep her child upright in the Nile River where there were snapping crocodiles and all kinds of enemies. She actually cast this little boy, not with gay abandon, but with intent and purpose and strategy. So I want to talk about what Jochebed housed, or the vessel she created to hold her son. I think it has such incredible significance. And it's worth saying that the same Hebrew word, tevia, that describes the ark or the vessel that Jochebed made to house Moses is the same word that the Bible uses for Noah's ark. I'm telling you, what you build to keep your child up, and it's not built with worry, and it's not built with fear, and it's not built with control, and it's not built with manipulation. When you build it according to God's purposes, I'm telling you, it will be the source of salvation, just like Noah's Ark, for your child. Even the children that look like they are so far from God, they are unsavable. And listen, I want you to know that the situation around Moses' birth was dire. Jochebed had to watch on a daily basis as her neighbor's children were being slaughtered. And can't you imagine, just like the scoundrel he is, that the enemy was constantly whispering in her ear, "What makes you think your kid is so special? What makes you think that he is bigger than the statistics? What makes you think that your child is going to be any better off than any of these that are slaughtered on a daily basis?" And oh my gosh, ladies, that's when you cannot bow your knee to fear. You have to look to God and trust that he will carry what is most precious to you. But the significance with the ark that Moses was placed in by his mother really is found in the ingredients or the material that she used to put it together. The Bible says that she put it together with papyrus, bulrushes, papyrus, which is known for its flotation abilities, and then bitumen and pitch. So I want to talk a little bit about the significance of those two materials. The first material, which is papyrus, basically said that this vessel was going to float. This vessel was gonna float. It may be sat on a wild and raging river, but this thing was gonna float. And listen, a lot of us wanna control the circumstances around and we wanna control the world we're in, but it's futile and it's impossible. But God says, instead, I'm gonna help you make a vessel that will keep your children protected even when the rivers rage around them. So she got this papyrus. She was pretty crafty, I guess, Jochebed. She went to Michael's. She weaved this thing with flax. She put it together. And the significance of that papyrus is really talking about prayer. Its semblance or semblance is prayer. Girls, men, I want you to understand today, you would be surprised if you knew how much your prayers concerning your children floated things. It would blow your mind. We think sometimes that the prayer can be so trite and, "Oh, pray. The pastor told me to pray." Well, of course, they're going to tell me to pray because that's their answer to everything. Yes, it is the answer to everything. Prayer is enough. There are, in some cases, prayer is going to be your only weapon, the only thing left, because when you take off their iPhone and you ban them from all their friends and you homeschool them and you do all that stuff and there's still not a change, prayer is the only thing that's going to float your kids. I'm one of five girls, and my middle sister, Janine, has an incredible testimony. Sadly, she was molested at a Christian youth camp when she was around eight or nine. And she kept it a secret from the family for a really long time, but it began a downward spiral in her life. And I know that there are many stories, many similar stories in this room today. And parents, you've raised your kids in the best way you can, but the enemy has still got in there somehow. We cannot stop the world from being evil, but we can prepare ourselves and our children for it. So, you know, she just went on this massive journey of running away from God. She received, because she was very, very smart, a scholarship to study at a university in Florida. During one of their spring breaks, she went with some friends to South America, and she never came back from South America for many months. She kind of didn't finish what she was meant to do in her college, and she stayed in South America and she got into all kinds of trouble. She was running with drug dealers. I mean, if you meet Janine today, she looks like Mary Poppins. You would just never thought, like, you would never assume, wow, you ran with drug dealers. And there were many, many moments in her life where literally the prayers of my parents held her up, floated her. She was in one situation where she had too much to drink and she was drunk. And she was in a house full of drug dealers. And one particular guy said to her, listen, I'm going to take you back to where you're staying. Come with me, I'm going to drive you home. And so we're all a bit naive, us grey girls. And so she jumps in the car with him, kind of very inebriated. And as they're driving away, the guy turns to her and says, you know, you're so drunk that I could do anything to you that I wanted to do right now and nobody would know. Even if you tried to scream, there isn't someone around for miles and there will be no one to hear you scream. And at that, she jumps out of the car. Again, she's bumbling because she's had too much to drink, and she's running through the forest, running through the jungle. And she could hear him coming after her, screaming, trying to catch up with her. She stumbled onto a road. At this time, in Australia, on the other side of the world, God wakes up my parents, and they start to hold hands and pray for Janine. They have not heard from her for multiple weeks. They are worried sick about their middle daughter. And then all of a sudden, as she tumbles onto a road, a truck stops in front of her. She's in South America. The country she's in speaks Portuguese. Someone leans out the side window and says, hey, in English, can I help you? Is everything okay? And then Janine said, no, help me, jumps in the truck. This person drives her back to where she was staying and stays with her till she wakes up in the morning, and then he was never seen again. I'm telling you, you have no idea, mums and dads, what the ark and the vessel you have prepared for your children that is floated by prayer, how it will manifest in the dark days of their lives. I remember another time, because of the situation that my sister went through. I mean, this is crazy, but she was 25 or 26 and unmarried. And now all my sisters and I were married at, like, we were fetal brides, married at like 17, 18 and 19. So when you're 20, five or 26 and in the Gray family, if you're not married by this age, apparently you're in fear of being an old maid, which I want to dispel today, absolutely crazy. But my mom was like, okay, we got to fix this. I'm going to pray in the right husband for my daughter. So she would pray and she would pray and she would pray. And then Jürgen and I were over there visiting from New Zealand because we lived in New Zealand at the time. And Jürgen said, oh my gosh, I met the most amazing guy in New Zealand that I think would be a perfect husband for Janine. And my mum's like, oh, go on. And so he starts talking about this guy, this amazing man of God who's funny and powerful, and he'd been healed of leukemia, just a beautiful, kind, nice person. And his name's Andrew Kabbalah. And then he goes, I just spoke at a conference that he spoke at. Look, here's his picture right here. My mum grabs the conference brochure, cuts out Andy's face. This is a true story, people. And then sticks it in the center of our family photo next to Janine. And every day she's praying over it. Now listen, I'm not sure if this is the prayer of faith or witchcraft, but it worked. They have been married for around 18, 19 years, and I'm telling you, God did a miracle. This was a girl who had many, many issues with marriage and men, and it took a specific and particular kind of guy. But because my mum was a woman of prayer, she floated her children, even when they were in rivers that were tempted and, I'm telling you, threatening to take her down. Your prayers work. They are a vessel that will keep your children dry and safe when the world is a very dark and scary, scary place. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Listen, the greatest gift we can give our children is not fear, is not panic, is not anxiety, is not control, is not manipulation. The greatest gift we can give our children as mothers is being a woman of prayer who has trust in an unshakable God. The greatest gift you can give your kids is a great prayer life. Pray for your kids. The Bible says, pour out your hearts like water to the Lord on behalf of your children. What matters to you matters to God. And He has created a way not to cast your cares in such a way as you dismiss or you default your responsibility, but purpose-driven. So you've created this vessel, this intentional vessel. When I cast my child into the river, I am not just casting to discard. I am casting with purpose. God, I cannot carry this anymore. I am just about destroying my family with my manipulation and my fear and my control. I realize this situation is bigger than me. I need you to keep them afloat, and I will pray those prayers that will keep them even when they don't want to be kept. Amen. I know, amen right there. And the second material that Jochebed used to put this ark together, and there was only two that the Bible speaks of, was bitumen and pitch. So know what? Not only was this vessel going to be floated by prayer, it was also going to be made waterproof by the word. Wow. Waterproof by the word. See, there are so many things you will see in relation to raising your kids. And if you're at that age where your kids are teeny tiny and the biggest problem is they won't give up their pacifier, you're welcome for me preparing you in advance. Because the Bible says that the rain rains on the just and the unjust. So we have to get ready to have an umbrella. And sometimes we cannot control the situations and circumstances that will assault our kids. But we can be prepared for them. So this message is all about preparation and deliverance today. So the bitumen and the pitch speaks of the word of God. What word are you speaking over your kids? You know, God had to arrest my mouth. When I went through a particularly devastating situation with my oldest child, everything I was seeing with my natural eyes gave me reason to confess, this is hopeless. This is impossible. Things are never going to change. He's this, he's that, but he's not all the things that I hoped he would be or that I had destined for him to be. And I felt the Lord say to me, Leanne, I need you to speak what you want to see. And my word is the final authority. My word is the final authority over the doctors, over the naysayers, over the statistics. My word is even greater than the words that they speak about themselves. I said, you're going to hold your child up. And I literally, there were moments where I felt like my child was being held up in a net that I had created by speaking the word of God. As much as he wanted to wriggle free, as much as he wanted to drop to the ground, because I had created a net with the word of God, he was not able to go places that even in his heart he wanted to go, because I had created a vessel for him to be safe in, and it was the vessel of the word of God. Kept him watertight. Bible tells us in the book of Matthew, chapter number 7, that the wise person builds their house upon the rock, so that when the winds come, when the flood waters rise, when the rain falls down, that person will not be shaken. And when that storm passes, they will still be standing. What words are you speaking over your kids? You know, God has given me a scripture for each and every single one of my children. I speak about this a lot, but when I went through the darkest time with my eldest, and everything I looked at with my natural eyes, and you've got to know that Jochebed every day was seeing things that were contradicting what she was believing in her heart for her son. And there were times where I would walk home and I would confess the word and I would have hope for my heart, but what I would see with my natural eyes contradicted everything I was hoping for with my son. But you know what? I still didn't have an excuse. And I still did not have the luxury of speaking what I saw. I needed to speak what I wanted to see. And so God gave me Psalm 1. And he said, Leanne, your son is not all the things that he looks like he is right now. He is the fruition of Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the mocker, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. Now, I just want to kind of make a mention here. At this point, I hadn't seen him with a Bible in his hand. I hadn't seen him listening to worship music or being interested in church or listening to T.D. Jakes' podcasts. None of this was happening. But God said, don't speak what you see. Sow seeds into his future that are going to hold him up even when he does not want to be held up. in this law, he meditates day and night, he will be like a tree planted solid by rivers of living water, bringing forth his fruit in season, and everything he does will prosper. Don't curse what God's called you to bless. Don't pull down what God's called you to build up. The Bible says, a wise woman builds her house, but a foolish woman tears it down with her hands. You know, the greatest way we can tear our house down is with the negative words we speak over ourselves, our marriages, and our children. It's time to shift. Casting your cares means creating that ark with your prayers and with the word of God. And I'm telling you today, just wait and see what God does. It'll be a miracle. The story of Moses is a miracle. This kid should have been murdered. He should have been slaughtered like so many Hebrew boys were. His life should have ended, but he was carefully and strategically placed in a purpose-made vessel of the prayer to the Lord and the word of God that kept him afloat when others were dying. And the Bible says that Pharaoh's daughter, one of the most prominent women in the land, found this little ark and opened it up and saw this beautiful little baby. And she said, "Whose baby is this?" And Miriam, Jochebed's sister, just happened to be there. And she said, "Oh, I can find a nursemaid for the child. I can find somebody to nurse this little child as you take him and make him your own." And Pharaoh's daughter said, "Yes, go do that." She was able to run back to her own house, to her mother, and bring her mother back. And Jochebed was paid to sustain the child even after the child had left her household. The Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when they are older, they will not depart from it. Even when this child had left her household, her control, her four walls, her milk was still sustaining him. The words you speak now, the prayers you pray now, will sustain your child even when they have left the four walls of your house and left your control. I'm telling you today, God will do a miracle. The only thing that can limit God is your unbelief, your lack of prayers, your inability to search and find the word for your child. What is the word? We can't change the world, but we can change ourselves. We can change our response. You can't fix the calamity in the world. The world is a dark place and sadly getting more darker and perverted, but you can create a Noah's Ark of their very own that will hold them up. When the whole world is drowning, they will be upright because of your prayers. My gosh, faith is rewarded. Your faith will be rewarded. You know what? This is so good because it's something that all of us can do. We can all pray. We can all get in the word and find a word. Oh, I remember coming home some days, girls, and seeing things that would make your hair curl. But walking into my room and just declaring out of the book of Isaiah, all my children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of my children. And I tell you what, I was reminding God, I was reminding myself, and I was sure as heck reminding the devil. And I'm aware that there were many demonic forces trying to settle in with their lies. But here's the thing about the devil, he only knows how to talk in fake news. He's all about the fake news. It's not the Russians. It's not CNN. It's the enemy. He's the author of fake news. Oh, and he'll come alongside. It's hopeless. Martin Luther King said, "We don't see the measure of a man in his times of comfort and convenience, but the measure of man is found in the times of challenge and chaos." My gosh. There's strength on the inside of you. Don't ride your children off. Doesn't matter how far gone they are, how old they are. Start today. I'm going to create an ark with my prayers and with the word of God. Even when what I see with my eyes is negative, I am going to confess God's goodness. I'm going to confess his promises, because I want to tell you today, the Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away. It is unchanging. It is as relevant today as it was the day it was written. It is the most powerful force in your world. It is a weapon. The Bible says it is the sword sword of the Spirit. It can cut away demonic forces. It can keep your child protected from enemies seen and unseen. I'm telling you today, you're going to make it. Your kids are going to make it. The dysfunction they face, the battles they face, that is not the end of the story. My gosh. Those who sow in tears shall reap with shouts of joy. Oh, you're going to experience some pain. There's no pain like a mama heartbreak pain. But it's not going to be the end. It's going to fortify you in your strength. My gosh, I was a little weakling before I went through trial. I've never felt God's presence so strongly as I have when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And we all crave and desperately want the mountaintop moments, and thank God for them. We need them. But I'm telling you, it's in those valley moments that I know that He is with me. He is with me. You're going to feel the presence of God. Don't despair. Don't be discouraged. Don't give up. You're a warrior. Mamas, you are a warrior queen. You are a warrior queen. God's going to give you a strategy. He's going to speak to you and help you build an ark. You're going to come through, and the Bible says, no weapon formed against you will prosper, and every voice that rises against you in judgment, God will condemn. Amen. Today, I want you to understand that even though the enemy may have formed some weapons against your children, God's given you a bigger, more superior weapon, and it's called the Word of God. I'd love it if you'd stand to your feet, everybody here today, and I know that there's some nuggets there, not just for mums, but for dads too. Maybe you're going through something today and you felt desperate and you felt hopeless and you felt destitute. I want you to know that those same principles will work in your situation. Prayer and the Word. 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 Your Heavenly Father wants to hear from you, and He's got something that He wants to say to you. And the Word is full of encouragement. My gosh, it's going to change your life. Lift your hands to the Lord. Father, I thank You right now that before me stands an army of men and women who will not shrink back in the day of adversity, who will not falter, who will not look to the hand of man and what their own flesh can achieve. But Father, they would cry out to You. Father, because You are the daddy that hears. You are the daddy whose ear is inclined to the cry of Your children, whose eye sees the injustice. Father, and we declare today that You are a redeemer, You are a restorer, and we declare in faith the best is yet to come. And I pray over every parent to be, right now, all our children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of our children. 1,000 may fall at their side, 10,000 at their right hand, but it will not come near them. Father, help us be men and women of the Word and of prayer. Father, that we would take up the sword of the Spirit in Jesus' name and become warriors in our household. Father, that we would declare like Joshua, as for me and my house, we shall serve the Lord. In Jesus' mighty name. Somebody shout amen and say hallelujah. It's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. Everything is going to be all right. It's going to all be good. You're going to come through this. I want to ask now, as we come to a close, if there's anyone here, if we could just for a moment, you can stay standing, just keep your eyes closed. If there's anyone here today who has never given their heart to the Lord, what a beautiful day to surrender your heart to the Lord. You know, when Pastor Jürgen and I were in Mammoth a few years ago, we lost our son on the mountain. He was like 4, and he was a snowboarding maniac. And he got off the chairlift, and before Jürgen could even strap on his boots, he had taken off down the mountain. It was about 4 o'clock in the afternoon, the sun was going down, and Jürgen lost Tommy in an instant. And he got to the end thinking Tommy would be there for him waiting, but it looked like Tommy had gotten back on a chairlift and gone up for another run. It was getting dark, the wind was cold. Jürgen searched for Tommy for an hour, Thank God he didn't tell me, because I would have about freaked out, threatened divorce. But it was about after an hour that Jürgen finally found Tommy, sitting in the lost and found, surrounded by old ski boots and missing socks and gloves, sitting on the desk, swinging his feet, crying, sucking a lollipop, waiting for his daddy. You know, if we hadn't have found our son, if Jürgen had have come back and said, you know, we've got three kids. Geordie and Ash are fine. You know, two out of three ain't bad, right? There's some pretty good odds right there. I would not have been satisfied. As a mother, I would have been like, I will not rest until I find my missing child. You know, just like I have that thought, just like I have that heart, so does God about you. I mean, it's awesome that so many people in this room today have surrendered their lives to him and are back and reconciled to their father. But you know, nobody could ever console God over the loss of you. Nobody could ever console God over the loss of you. He loves you desperately. He will search to your last breath to get you back in relationship with him. You matter to him. You're not just another face in a crowd. He looks at you uniquely, specifically. You're his beautiful kid. Just like you love your children and you love them each uniquely and specifically, that's exactly how God is. So if you're here today and you know, my gosh, I need to be found by God today. I'm in the lost and found with my feet swinging, and it's time for me to put my hand up and say, God, here I am. If that's you, lift your hand up nice and high. Lift it up. I know there's a few people today. Or maybe you did walk with God, but you took your life back. If that's you and you need to surrender your heart to the Lord again, let's do that. Let's get it done this morning. If that's you, lift your hand up nice and high. What a beautiful Mother's Day gift for that mother who's undoubtedly been praying for you. Lift your hands right now if that's you and we need to pray with you. I'm going to have a friend come to you. I'm not going to pull you forward this morning. Is this a hand over here? Perhaps. Ashes, could you just see? Is that someone's hand? Okay, beautiful. Excellent. I see it. Yes. Praise God. Praise God. Anyone else? I feel there's a few more. I'm not going to labor on it, but I feel there's a few more. God's tugging on your heart, friend. He's a gentleman. When he knocks, answer the door. Answer the door. He's got good plans for your life. He loves you so much. Is there anyone else? Anyone at all? All right. Okay. I think there's maybe a few more, but if you didn't have the courage to raise your hand, come see one of the pastors afterwards. In fact, talk to anybody who looks like they know what they're doing. We've kind of created a church family where we all know how to pray with someone who's accepting Jesus for the first time. But let us know. Don't go home the same way you came in. We'd love to pray with you. And for that person that raised your hand, one of my friends is going to come find you, give you a Bible, pray for you. Don't rush off. Come on, friends, let's give God a huge shout. Thank you for coming. Beautiful mums, happy Mother's Day. We love you. We want to honour you today. Enjoy your gift in a city that is now charging 10 cents for a bag. What a phenomenal gift this is.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.